Welcome to Northway Community Church. There's just a few of us here in person, and we're just welcome you that are online with us. We apologize for the 9 o'clock difficulties. Hopefully you've decided to join us again here at 11. Just a few announcements we want to share with you. We are continuing our church gatherings online. Mondays is prayer meeting. Wednesday is our Bible study. We're in the book of Judges. And we want to direct your attention to our website. On our website is a bunch of good stuff. There's an online connection card letting us know that you're with us today, worshiping with us. Also, you can give prayer requests online. You can give online. There are four ways to give. You can drop it off. You can mail it to us. And then the two special ways, online giving and then text to give. We are grateful. You have been so, so faithful in your giving over these last several weeks, and so we're grateful for that. There are children's resources online as well. You can find those on the Youth Resources tab, and there's updated weekly, and we'd be glad to continue to update those for you. You know, one of the things that is so important to me is that we just continue to keep our eyes on the Lord. There are so much right now that would want to make you look to the right or to the left. And we are deciding today that we're going to look to the Lord. And so we're going to invite those who are with us to stand so we worship. And if you're at home, maybe you want to stand as well and worship as we sing to the Lord this morning.
Coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break, and every voice declare His praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before.
So open up the gates.
So open up the gates. We wait before the King of Kings. God who comes to save is here to set the captive free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
Sing, who can stop?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
No one.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
Sing that again.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, 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 oh,
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Though my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God
all my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing of the goodness
of God. Friends, I don't know about you, but that is so encouraging, that the goodness of God is chasing after me, chasing after you. And so when we come into prayer, we're not coming as ones who have to beg or ones who have to grovel or ones who have to demand. We're coming as children of a king. And when the king sees his daughter, when the king sees his son, he looks and he says, I love you. And I want to be with you. And I want to help you. So as we go into prayer, let us come with that type of attitude. Father in heaven, we love you. We recognize your goodness. We recognize your faithfulness. And Lord, the word that will be shared this morning is right along those lines. Lord, thank you for weaving this service together, God. Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand in freedom to declare the truths of God. Father, in this morning, we know that there are so many other things that would want to pull for our attention, so many other things that would want to vie for our affections. But Lord, today we declare in one voice that we have gathered here in living rooms and kitchens and in person here in the worship center and all over the country, Lord, in order to lean into you, God, to learn from you, to seek you and to seek your face and to see your hand leading us, Lord. We declare that we follow you. So, Father, in this hour, we pray that you are pleased with our offering. You're pleased with our testimony. You're pleased with our attention on you. Lord, I pray that our lives would be something that would bring you honor and glory, that would draw people closer to you by watching us. Let that be so today, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated here. And if you're standing at home, you can be comfortable as well. So I want to tell you a little story about one long, dark night at my house. It was May the 5th, and it was the middle of the night. Actually, it was 1:25 a.m. I had been trying to sleep since about 11, and it was about 1:25, and I had basically been tossing and turning, and with no rest. And you know that sometimes when we're in we're journeying through a night, and it's restful, it's peaceful, and even restorative. It gives us our bodies time to rest, and we wake up renewed and refreshed. But sometimes, and maybe if you're like me, sometimes that thing, that elusive friend called rest, is as far away as possible. We can't find rest, and we're simply going back and forth. And when we're in these dark nights, it seems that 1 minute isn't 1 minute anymore. And 1 hour seems to be like 5 hours. And it's just so long. And time seems to be breaking out of its boundaries. And why do we feel so alone when it's dark and at night and we can't sleep? It just seems so distant. And what happens in these times, and not only just in the physical night when we can't sleep, but those times in our life that we're going to deem as night are those times in our life when we have the deepest, darkest troubles, where we feel so alone. And it's in those times when we are in that night that we somehow feel like God is the most far away. And there's this conversation that happens, and maybe you didn't know consciously that this conversation's happening, but I believe it's the conversation that happens, and it's really just two sentences or two statements. And the one statement is coming from us, and the other statement is coming from God. And in the first statement goes something like this. It might not. I might not. It probably won't. Something, the sentence starts like that. It probably won't ever change. I probably won't ever change. I may never get out of this situation. And if you can, for a moment, quiet your heart and your mind and your soul, there's a response to that. When we say, it might not, God is whispering back to every single one of us, saying, it surely will. It surely will. I want us to know that in the most difficult times, those nights, those long dark nights of our lives, where we associate it with God being most distant, I want you to know that God is saying it surely will, and that every night has a dawn. Every night in our physical lives, the sun comes up. And in our spiritual lives, in our mental life, in our emotional life, when we're in that darkest, deepest time, when we feel like it may never be, it might not change, God is saying that every night leads to a dawn, that light is on the way, day will arrive, even though at this moment, truthfully, it feels like the depths of a dark, long night. For me, on that May 5th, I told you it was 1:25. And I was asking myself, would dawn ever come? And so today we're going to focus on that idea that don't forget the dawn. You know, sometimes we forget that that better things are coming. And so I want to walk in this series. I'm going to walk you through 5 weeks. But it's really only one long, dark night. And so the first week today is 1:25. And then the next week is going to be, it's going to be 2-something. I don't even remember what the clock said. It was like 2-something. And that's the week where we're going to talk about waiting for the dawn. So if today is about don't forget the dawn, 2-something is about waiting for the dawn. And then the week 3, it's actually 4:44 in the morning. And there's songs before dawn. Did you know that birds start chirping before the dawn starts? There are songs before dawn. And so you have don't forget the dawn, waiting for the dawn, songs before the dawn, and then you see the dawn. That which you were waiting for, it comes. And then last week of the series, it's going to be experiencing the dawn. Behaving in such a way as believing that it's daylight. Sometimes we see the light and we're living in the dawn, but we're behaving like it's night still. And so over these next 5 weeks, I'm excited to share with you the truths about a God of the dawn, even though we may be traveling through the night. See, for me, that night, May 5th, I didn't know what the reason why I couldn't sleep was. I thought maybe it was because Susie rearranged our bedroom and the bed was facing a new direction. And I thought, well, if it's not that, it might be those 3 or 4 cans of Pepsi that I drank too close to bedtime. That caffeine. And then I thought, well, if it's not that, it might be that extra large bowl of Snickers ice cream that I had. And I thought, well, no, maybe it's more spiritual than that. Maybe it's God calling me to a season of prayer. And I thought maybe it's a combination of all of those things. Isn't it when we are going through the most difficult times in our life, it's a combination of some things? It's not always just one thing. And really, even identifying what it is doesn't always help us. Knowing why you can't sleep doesn't make the night go any faster. And so when we are in the midst of this long, dark, discouraging night, I don't want us to forget the dawn. You know, there's a long, dark night in the Bible. Actually, there's probably several, but I want to focus on one. And this one is depicted to us by a man named Moses. And he's famous for things in the beginning of the Bible. But there is a psalm, a song that, a prayer really, that Moses writes. And it's included in the book of Psalms. So we often think that the Psalms are written by David or some musicians. But there's one, Psalm 90, where Moses is actually sharing his honest feelings about this long, dark night that he finds himself in. And not just himself, but an entire nation, all of Israel, is in this long, dark night. And this long, dark night is 40 years long. And the reason why they're in this long, dark night is because they had an opportunity to continue to follow Moses, continue to trust in God's direction for their nation, but they chose to turn back in unbelief. Not to believe that God was going to continue to lead them and fulfill his promise into the promised land. They said, no, we're not going to go in there. We don't think that we can be successful there. We're going to turn back. And what happens is when they turn back, they have 40 years of wandering in the desert. And so as we read Psalm 90, you have to remember that this is the setting for what Moses is saying in this real lament, in this prayer to God. He is in the midst of this long, dark night. But as I read this psalm this week, I was floored by how, although he's focused on life in the night, he can see the God of the dawn. He can see what God was going to do in the morning. And it's not until the end of the psalm, so you have to stay with me. This psalm is 17 verses long, and so don't fall asleep as we walk through it because there's so much in here, and I want us to look at it in a good way today. So here it is. This is Moses talking to God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, on you brought... For you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death, and they are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set your iniquity, you set our iniquities before you, your secrets, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of the days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, and they quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. So you can see this point, verses 1 through the beginning of the verses, Moses recognizes that God is faithful. He recognizes who it is that he's praying to. He recognizes him as Lord. He recognizes that he was faithful in the past. He's been faithful for generations and generations. He was faithful before the mountains were born. He recognizes that God is faithful and will see them through no matter what it is. But throughout this whole time, we see that they are experiencing the consequences of their decisions. And so he highlights for them why they are where they are. And he's highlighting for them the relationship that they have with God and what God is doing. But then in verse 12, we see a change, a shift, a transition, if you will. And it begins to see, oh, we might be in the night. We might be discouraged and in a dark place right now. But things are about to change. Verse 12, teach us to number our days again, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Do you hear the difference, the shift that's going on here? Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have been seeing trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And so you see this huge switch that in the midst of the dark, long night, Moses can see the dawn. And I want to show you how he does this. And so it's a series of things walking through this message that show us that even in the midst of the long, dark night that we all experienced, Moses was able to see the God of the dawn. And so how does he do this? The first thing we see is that he sets his focus on God. He sets his focus in the midst of this long, dark night. He recognizes and he keeps his attention on God the Father, knowing that protection and sustenance and stability comes from God. And I want you to know today that that's true for me and you, for you and I. Sorry, English teachers. Okay, sorry, you and me. Okay, sorry. I shouldn't have even stopped. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Listen, we belong to God. And so we need to have our focus on him, no matter if it's night or dawn or day. And Moses teaches us that. That our direction during the night should be set upon God. Secondly, he sets an important contrast. One of the things that's so interesting that we need to remember in the middle of the night at 1:25 a.m. that God is eternal and we are fragile. We are temporal. We are nearsighted, and God is eternal and he is long-sighted, far-sighted. We are here temporary and he is beyond now. And so not only do we have our focus on him in the night, but we must understand the contrast in the night, that when we are weak and frail, we serve a God who is eternal and strong. Focus, contrast. Thirdly, we see in this psalm that there are 24 references to time. Now, if you know anything about me and my preaching and this church, I'm always concerned about time. I'm always apologizing for the sermon being too long. I'm always wondering what the time it is. And God is showing us through Moses that, listen, what you think is an amount of time, God sees it so much differently. To God, a day or even a portion of the night is like 1,000 years. And so we are so limited. We often believe that what is right now will always be. That this present season that I'm going through will always be that way. And that's why we can say, well, gosh, it may never change. I may never stop doing that. It might not ever come to pass. And see, what we're seeing is we're seeing the narrow and the now. And God says, the Bible says, God sees the beginning from the end. He knows the entirety of our story. And so what we need to realize is that when we are in the middle of the night, we need to reset the clock. that we need to begin to think like God thinks about time. That which is now will not always be. And that what we hope to be, one day will be. We set our focus. We set the contrast. We reset the clock. And I think that when we are heading into a night, we need to preset our understanding. So often, when we're in the middle of the night, we didn't preset our understanding. We weren't prepared for the night. And what we realize is that when we get into a situation and it's a dark situation, we wonder, how did we get here? And what Moses points out here is that we got here most times by self-inflicted wounds. We got here as a result of our own decisions. And sometimes we got here because of somebody else's decisions. And so when we come into a situation, we need to preset our understanding that we're going to go into hard times. We're going to go into dark times. And we need to know that this is the wrong time to hide from God. Well, what he says there in verses 7 and 8, I believe it is, he's talking about that God sees our sin. And why are we trying to hide it? Why are we trying to exclude God from the situation? Why are we trying to curl up and not let him see us? And because we're afraid that there's judgment and punitive actions coming. And what God is saying is, listen, I see you. There's nothing hidden, but there's nothing also that disqualifies you from forgiveness. And so that when we think of God shining his light into those dark spots, those hard, long night spots of our life, we feel like he's going to do that to hurt us. But he's shining the light in order that we no longer have to suffer in silence. We no longer have to be afraid of that which we have been hiding. Preset your understanding before you even get into the hard, long, dark night. That God desires to know you and forgive you. Even though sometimes consequences remain. We all know that. But sometimes we need to walk through the consequences of our action, believing that God still loves us and forgives us. So then we believe that we have this new understanding, and we realize that there is hope for something different. Did you see, as I was reading to you, we went through verses 1 through 11, but then in verse 12, there's this whole idea of, listen, God, help me count the numbers of my days. Help me realize that I need wisdom. Help me fear the Lord. Help me honor him. Help me bring glory to God. Regardless of the cause of our long, dark nights, we need to ask the Lord for wisdom in the middle of the night. Because when we begin to change our focus from why we can't rest, why things aren't right in our life, why we're going through this terrible time, when we stop fighting the night and we begin to seek the God of the dawn, things begin to transition. And that's where the passage begins to change. As we go into verses 12 and 13, we begin to say, oh, when I'm no longer fighting the darkness, when I'm no longer fighting the long night, and I begin to focus on the God of the dawn, we begin to see more about this God of the dawn. And that's what he shows us. That's when it begins to transition from it might not to God saying it surely will. And if you would just help me looking at verse 13, we begin to see the change here. Psalm 90, verse 13, we see it. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servant. Did you know that it is part of God's nature to bring compassion to you? He desires to have you renewed and a continued connection with him. He does not want to punish you. He does not want to be distant from you. He does not want to lay down the consequences of your actions. He wants to bring compassion. And I want you all to know that no matter how far down you are, how beat up you think you've been, God wants you to get up. He is a God of compassion. And not only is he a God who wants to relent, he is a God who wants to satisfy. And we saw that throughout the every day the Israelites were in the wilderness. God brought divine cornflakes. He brought like manna. He brought food on the ground every morning. Like, how are we going to eat? We're out in the wilderness. We're out in this desert. How are we ever going to be sustained? And we see that God provided for them even in the long, dark nights. God will provide for you. What we learn about this is that even in the middle of the night, as we seek the God of the dawn, he will satisfy us, verse 14 tells us. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. Did you know that it is the nature of God to love and have mercy on his children? We can and will have joy and gladness in our life. Moses tells us that we serve a God who will relent. We serve a God who will satisfy. And we serve a God who allows transitions. One of the things that's so beautiful in here that Moses says is, as many days as I have been afflicted, I want those many days of blessing and joy. What if that was something you remembered in the middle of the night? That for whatever the afflictions are, no matter how deep and dark and long this night is going to be, that's how long the day and the dawn and the goodness of God will be in my life. That's coming. Dawns are part of God's nature. We will all see a dawn at the conclusion of the night. We know what it's like. No one's denying the difficulty that you're in. No one's denying the reality of that long, dark night. But I want you to know that is as severe as that was and is, that's how great and wonderful your dawn will be. As we seek the Lord, I want you to know that the truth of the matter is that your night can't last any longer than God permits it. No one and nothing can stop the light from coming up in your life. No one and nothing can prevent dawn from coming. Can I continue? It says here in 15, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, as many years as have seen trouble. So there it is. Verse 16, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to the children. Listen, we serve a God who can be appreciated. We can see the goodness of the Lord of the dawn. Goodness is part of his nature. You and I will all experience the goodness of God. And then he ends in verse 17, if I would just go on a few more minutes. So he says in 16, may your deeds be shown to your servant, your splendor to your children, to their children. And then 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Did you know that it is part of God's nature to have favor on his children? That's who you are. That's the God of the dawn. That connects us back to verse 1. You remember verse 1, right? He says, Lord, you have been faithful for generations. Before the mountains were born, you were faithful. And so we realize that God is a God of favor. God is a God of faithfulness. And so I want to declare to you, as we bring this in for a landing this morning, God's plan will come to pass in your life. If not in the midst of the night, beginning with the dawn, it will be fulfilled during the day. Not one of your nights, not one of your troubles, not one of those dark points in your journey will be wasted. It's part of the process. It's part of the plan. Isn't it interesting that we have to understand the depths of darkness in order to be able to appreciate the rising of the sun? How would we know? What would be the contrast? How could we appreciate the beauty of the sun if we had nothing to compare it to? And so as we look at the depths and the darkness and the length of the night, when we see the breaking of light, that we begin to see the dawn of the day, we become so much more appreciative. We realize that God is sovereign, that He's bringing us up out of this night. We believe that God's wrath is real, that there are things that come in the night, but we also know that He's a God of love. And all of this is available to us. If and when we hear that second part of the conversation. God, I'll never change. God, it's never going to be different. God, I'm never going to get out of here. And if we'll just stop long enough to listen to what the Father says, and He whispers back to us, it surely will. It surely will. It surely will. It surely will. Stop fighting the night and begin seeking the God of the dawn. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes in the middle of the night, in the dark, long night. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on the clock, not on the bed, not on the circumstances, not on the surroundings, not on the relationships, but we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary. But He who is unseen is eternal. That's what makes the good news so good, friends. Is because the bad news of sin. That's how we know the good news is because the bad news is so bad. That's why we have a cross. And that's why what would have been considered the most cruel and heinous form of death that any person could ever be afflicted with, for us, is a sign of joy and peace and hope. And grace. How did that happen? How did a death trap become a symbol for the whole world? It's because that which God used to demonstrate His love for us. I guarantee that Good Friday, mid-afternoon, Jesus breathed His last. He bows His head. Life has gone out of His body. There's no one. There was no disciple. Not even His mother. No one that thought, oh, wow, look, the dawn. The sun is coming up. We're getting ready to enter into a good time. No, it was a long, dark weekend. But you couldn't have the resurrection on Sunday without the death on Friday. Amen. And so as I close, I'm reminded of a hymn that I used to sing as a little boy. Oh God, our help in ages past. In this hymn, it talks about the faithfulness of God in the past will be the faithfulness of God in the future. And what I was reminded of is that the previous, the former dawns, all those times where God had been faithful in my life before, every time where I thought the sun wasn't coming up, every time I thought the night would never end, it ended and God's goodness came up. And now I'm going to remember the previous dawns in order to be hopeful for the next dawn. And so I close one more time with that small conversation. God, it won't. It can't. It might not. And God whispers back to all of us, it surely will. It surely will. Amen. God, today, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share your word and to press through anxiety, to press through discouragement, to press through my own little mini night that happened even this morning. But God, you're faithful. And when we seek the God of the dawn, instead of fighting against the night, you reign true. And so, Lord, I pray for all of my friends that are in the facility right now. And I pray for all of my friends that are across the country on social media. Lord, I pray that each one of us would commit to seeking the God of the dawn. Through the love, grace, and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you, God. And we pray that you would just continue to show us your goodness and your faithfulness. Continue to show us your desire for us to continue to travel with you, to journey with you through the night. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we are grateful that you're here this morning. We're grateful that you've decided to come out and join us for in-person worship. And our hope is that you'll continue to come. And we have space for more people to come if you choose next week. And so at we plan to continue these two services, 9 and 11, for the foreseeable future. Continuing to watch what is being recommended to us by our national and state and local leaders. So, God bless you. We pray that you seek the God of the dawn. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.